remind you this. On New Year's Eve, you start a resolution. And then you, on the 4th of July, we had a revolution. And these two holidays remind me that a revelation. They wanted to have a new country. And thanks to that revelation, these two things that come to mind, these early people that started our country, they wanted a fresh start and they wanted freedom. And that applies to us today as believers. So they resolved that they were going to have America, and here we are, 13 colonies have grown a little bit. I wonder what our founding forefathers would think today. The old expression, they'd probably turn over where?
In their graves
to say, now we're fighting each other. Why on earth, you know? I always found as a coach, if I could beat you easier if y'all would fight among yourselves. Well, you know how that is, your own teams. I think, who cares? We don't have to beat you. You're beating yourself. So we've got to pray for a country that we won't do that. Let's make a resolve that we're going to fight stronger as Christians. So it's going to be a revolution. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We're not going to be the old us anymore. We talked about Gideon. And he had a revelation. He resolved. It finally caused a revolution. And he stepped out and caused growth to come to the Israelites. Here's Naaman taking a dip in the river there. He had a revelation and he resolved that he was going to be a new person. And he went back home a saved man. I believe that with all my heart. Then we talked about this little boy. What's this little boy's name?
This is Samuel.
Young Samuel. Samuel heard something. And he heard a voice one night. And who spoke to him? It was really God. But he kept thinking it was Eli, the priest. So he's like, what is it? And so if you need a Bible today, this story's found in... Anybody need a Bible today?
There you go.
1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible. Sorry. Anybody else need a Bible? 1 Samuel. I'll read you a few verses, and we read these the other day, and then I'll... The thought of the new series, I wanted to call it Whisper. A lot of times when we hear a whisper in our ear, we think someone's telling us a secret. Well, I think God whispers sometimes. And we could go around the room and get your opinion, but you say, well, sometimes God speaks so loud and clear, it's not like a whisper. But why would someone whisper instead of yelling at you? Well, one reason is, y'all want to make sure you're listening to me. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to wait until you calm down, and then I'll tell you something in a smaller, still voice. So I want to make sure you listen. Second, if I yell, you'll yell pretty soon. It's too noisy. So we just sort of, I'm going to calm down. So Samuel, young Samuel, hears a voice. He thinks it's Eli. He goes three times. And this is in the first Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathiah, Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah. Elkanah's wife was Hannah. And Hannah wanted a son. And she finally got one, but she was thankful for the son, but she said, I want to give him back to God. Since God gave him to me, I'll give him back. So then, look over chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. So now picture a young boy named Samuel living at the temple. Hannah's giving him up. She goes and sees him occasionally, and here's chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. What's that mean? God wasn't speaking a lot. When God speaks a lot, we tend to call those a week-long thing. When I was growing up, Tim, we'd have those at OEA Church of the Brethren. What do we call those? Anybody? God really spoke
revival.
This week to us. We'd have a revival. You think America could use a revival? Yeah. For some reason, a revival just causes everybody to see each other as God does, and we quit arguing. I quit finding fault with you with me. We forgive one another, and revival breaks out. Instead, when we get away from God... Yeah, these Israelites are away from God. The boy Samuel ministered. God wasn't speaking. His word was sort of rare. There was not many visions. And one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could hardly see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord when the ark of God, where the ark of God was, and the Lord just called Samuel. Look at that, the Lord. Now, we just said the Lord, it's almost like, let me paraphrase this. God doesn't speak too often. He's speaking. How about that? You ever known that? I think her daddy was like that. Daddy didn't talk a lot. So when he did speak, guess what? You better listen. You know. If somebody talks all the time, you tend to think, oh, just forget it. Man, a few words carries weight. So God's going to speak. You better be listening. And look at who he's speaking to. Not to the priest. He's talking to a little boy named Samuel. So he speaks and he says this. The Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You call me? Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back. Hey, go back to sleep. Go back to bed. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord said, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, here I am. You call me, my son. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Samuel did not know yet the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Remember that? It's revealed. Then we make a resolution. Then we have a revolution. It's going to be revealed to him. He's going to know who's talking to him here just in a little bit. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli. He's probably thinking, here I am again. Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go back and lie down. If he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back. The Lord came, stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So this little boy hears from God. So Samuel heard God speak. What's he do with that? What's he do with that little whisper? Well, his voice would change. God's voice came to him. His life would change. Samuel grew up not ever being the same. He was really the first, I would, if you want to call him a prophet, he was the first of many. It's almost like the pre-judge area before the judges took over. Then he had the kings. And so Samuel's sort of all those people. He was running the show. And yet the people were like, hey, get rid of him. We want us the kings. So he ended up getting King Saul. But Samuel was anointed from God. He was somebody that, it said when he spoke, his words didn't fall to the ground. Interpret that for me. When he spoke, it was what? Worth hearing. So he's a lot like God. So here's a man that would later speak to others as God would speak to him. Have you ever heard God speak? Have you ever heard God speak? Chris, play this. I've got a video, Mark Batterson speaks about. He gives an example of this. I don't want to steal thunder too much. You'll hear his story. But this guy who's an opera singer, and soon you cannot hear what the notes that he's singing. And I'll show you why.
More than half a century ago, Dr. Alfred Tomatis was confronted with the most curious case of his 50-year career as a world-renowned otolaryngologist. A renowned opera singer had mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes, even though those notes were well within his octave range. He had been to other specialists, all of whom thought it was a vocal problem. Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise. Using a sonometer, Dr. Tomatis discovered that the opera singer was producing 140 decibel sound waves at a meter's distance. That's louder than a military jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. Long story short, the opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. And because he could no longer hear the note, he could no longer hit the note. In Dr. Tomatis' words, the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. The French Academy of Medicine dubbed it the Tomatis effect, and the ramifications go way beyond the opera. Listen, here's my theory. All of us have problems, relational problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems, and we think those problems are the problem. But those problems are really symptoms. The root problem is ears that have been deafened to the voice of God. Sometimes, it's our own negative self-talk. God can't get a word in edgewise. Or maybe it's the voice of criticism, a voice you've heard so often for so long that you can't believe anything else about yourself. It could be the voice of conformity, the voice of culture. Or perhaps it's the voice of condemnation. Listen, the enemy of our soul is called the accuser of the brethren and the father of lies. If you listen to those lies, it'll deafen you to the voice of God. And if you can't hear God's voice, you can't sing God's song. And your life will be off key. Now here's the good news. Learning to discern the still small voice of God is the solution to a thousand problems. It's also the key to discovering your identity and your destiny. His voice is joy. His voice is wisdom. His voice is healing. His voice is peace. His voice is power. His voice is grace. His voice is truth. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Those four words are still creating galaxies at the outer edges of the universe. How did God do it? He did it with His voice. The universe is God's way of saying, look at what I can do with four words. And if God can do that with four words, what are we worried about? The voice that spoke the universe into existence is the same voice that split the Red Sea and made the sun stand still. His voice can heal a withered arm or wither a barren fig tree. His voice can turn water into wine. It can install synaptic connections between the optic nerve and visual cortex of a blind man's brain. And it can resurrect a man who was 4 days dead. There's nothing God's voice cannot say, cannot do. And frankly, He can do it however He pleases. He can speak through a burning bush or Balaam's donkey. His voice can stop a storm on the Sea of Galilee with three words, peace, be still. And that's tough for us to even comprehend because we use our voices to basically do one thing, to speak or shout or sing. But that's it. Does God speak audibly? Absolutely. But that's a thin slice of His vocal range. His ability to speak is way beyond our ability to hear. There are people who argue that they've never heard the voice of God. I would argue otherwise. That may be true of His audible voice within our small range of hearing, but everything we see was structured with four words, "Let there be light." What we see, He said. His voice is all around us all the time. And the reality is this, it's when you get outside our range of hearing that sound waves do some strange and mysterious things. Suffice it to say, God's ability to speak is not limited to our ability to hear audibly. God uses His voice to create and to convict, to heal and reveal, to guide and to grace. A few years ago, I wrote a book about prayer titled The Circle Maker. It's about talking to God, but that's half the equation. Whisper is about listening to God. And if you ask me which was more important, it's an easy answer. At the end of the day, I need to hear what God has to say more than God needs to hear what I have to say. We live in a culture where everybody wants to be heard, but we have so little to say. If you want people to listen to you, listen to God, because then you'll have something worth saying. My prayer for this series is that you would find your voice, but it starts with discerning the voice of God. If you're anything like me, there are some voices you need to turn down and tune out. And I'll talk about how we can do that in the next session. We'll talk about tuning in and turning up the voice of God. But let me start with a little challenge right at the outset. In 1 Samuel 3, there's a 7-word prayer that I think can change your life. Let me give you the context. There was a woman named Hannah who could not conceive. She begged God for a child, and God answered with a boy named Samuel. Hannah gave Samuel back to the Lord, and it says he grew up in the presence of God. But let me broaden the context a little. It also says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, the Lord spoke to Samuel, but Samuel had not yet learned to discern the voice of God. In fact, he mistook it for the voice of Eli. And I think we make the same mistake. God uses desires and dreams and doors and people and promptings and pain. But we often misinterpret those messages or we ignore them altogether. 1 Samuel 3:7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. In other words, he had not learned to discern the voice of God. That's when Eli gives Samuel a little piece of advice that changes the trajectory of his life. He says, go and lie down, and if he calls to you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel hears the voice of God for the first time, and I love this descriptor. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. God gave Samuel a prophetic voice, but it started with a prophetic ear. Why? Because you can't say what you can't hear. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. So here's the challenge. At the beginning of this series, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Pray that 7-word prayer, then stop talking and start listening. Now let me take you to 1 Kings 19. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The ESV calls it a low whisper. The NASB calls it a gentle blowing. And the KJV calls it a still small voice. We tend to dismiss as insignificant the natural phenomena that preceded the whisper because God was not in them. But I bet they got Elijah's attention. God has an outside voice, and he's not afraid to use it. But when God wants to be heard, when what he has to say is too important to miss, he often speaks in a whisper just above the absolute threshold of hearing. The question is why? You know, when someone speaks in a whisper, you have to get very close to hear them. In fact, you have to put your ear very near the person's mouth. We lean into a whisper, and that's what God wants. The goal of hearing the Heavenly Father's voice isn't just hearing His voice. It's intimacy with Him. That's why He speaks in a whisper. He wants to be as close to you as possible. Why? So you don't just hear His voice, you hear His heart. Some Hebrew scholars believe that the name of God, Yahweh, without the vowels, is synonymous with the sound of breath. So on the one hand, the name is too sacred to pronounce. On the other hand, it's whispered with each and every breath you take. It's our first word, our last word, and every word in between. Nothing has the potential to change your life like the voice of God. It's not just the solution to 1,000 problems. It's the key to discovering your destiny. It's the key to discerning the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. It's how we see and seize divine appointments. It's how God-sized dreams are conceived in us. It's the genesis of every breakthrough, every blessing, every miracle. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? And is He the loudest voice in our lives?
I asked a rhetorical question here. How many people would love to hear from the voice of God? Susan, in your classroom, you might say this.
You use your inside voice.
What's that mean? The kids have been what? Screaming and hollering. Looking, hey, Gaga! Inside voice right here. I think God will do that to you. And he does that to me. It's like, boy, I went to work today and that guy was all. That's what was it? I guess that's aggravated. Look, look with me now. What's the word behind? You just walk into this and suddenly you get into that holy of holies kind of prayer. And it's like, I'm ignoring that. I forgot what I'm saying. Now, the reason why Mark might not catch fish, didn't use a bit, I'm just kidding. Mark, why didn't you catch fish the last time? Well, could be every. Why didn't I catch fish? I didn't even go. At least Mark goes. See, when we're fishing right here and we go out, if I don't listen to God, God never speaks to me. Mark goes, why? You're not listening. Mark's listening. Fish just wasn't talking to that. Mark's listening. He's like, and he's trying to pull it. He doesn't get it, but at least he's listening. At least these guys go out in the boat. By the way, when they went out and fished one time, didn't catch anything all night long, John chapter 21, Jesus on the shore says, cast your net on the right side. You know how well a fisherman wants to take advice when you ain't caught nothing on him. Mama under your breath, these fishermen are bound to be about ready to cuss him out. This is God Almighty sitting on the shore. They cast your net on the right side. Out of desperation, sure, we'll cast it like you said. You know where we're going to look. We threw the net over there and John, being smart, says, it's Jesus. Why? Because John was listening. He knew it was Jesus right off. 149 fish later, they knew it was Jesus. Now John says, it's Jesus. He turns to tell Peter, and Peter dives in the water. He's swimming ashore. See, suddenly everything changes when you hear Jesus speak. So if you want to hear him speak, and you cast your net on the right side, and I want to hear him speak. You say, well, that's emotional. It can be. Not always. But I mean, I hear him say something. And suddenly I forget what I'm talking about. But that's probably wise anyway. I could quit rambling. Have you ever heard God speak? And you say, well, I don't think it's easy to do. The voice of the Spirit of God is as gentle as a summer breeze, Oswald Chambers writes. So gentle that unless you're living in complete fellowship and oneness with God, you'll never hear it. Can't catch if you don't go. Can't hear him speak if you're so in the world. And you get people of the world come up and say, Edgar, how come you act like you can hear God? I can't. Yeah, because I listen. How come he doesn't speak to me? You're not listening. Yeah. You never had to give instructions twice in the classroom, had you? Now turn this in when you're finished with it, okay? Make sure you turn it in. Yeah. What do we do when we're finished? And my class leader, he just now said turn it in. Oh, I guess I wasn't listening. Some of the reasons why we don't hear God, maybe it's this. Why we don't listen. Maybe we don't hear God speak because we're not listening. Maybe there's too much noise in our life to hear God speak. You know, somebody calls them up. Yeah, wait a minute. Would y'all kids be quiet? Turn the vacuum off or hear that. Now I can hear you. Maybe you need to turn some things down in your life. Matter of fact, when we get up and pray, Chris, you know, in the morning, open up our Bibles and pray, what do they call it? That's called a devotion. Some people call it something else. It is a devotion. I heard. Keep going. Navigators used to call it something else, didn't
they? Quiet.
That's a quiet time. Mm. Wonder why they call it that. Because it's supposed to be quiet.
I'm having a quiet time.
It's not working enough, I think. Try harder. It's a quiet time. I mean, if somebody says, be still, I hear something. No, be. You're the clock, too. Never knew we had a clock. Yeah. You was never quiet enough to hear it. Maybe we're not close enough to God to hear us all. See, God's not. Just picture Jesus right here. I'm not going to yell. Jesus, like, just like, hey, hey, hey. What? Come over here. What? I'm not going to yell at you. Won't you come close enough to hear my whisper? Maybe the voices of this world are drowning God out. Maybe we don't want God to speak to us because if Mom says, you come here, I got something to say. I don't hear what she's going to say because I know I'm in trouble.
Mm.
I don't get too close to God. He's going to tell me about your really need to change this. Maybe we do hear God speak, but then just ignore him. Not like we don't need advice sometimes. God will give us wisdom. Samuel, there's his story. Remember we read about him, the little boy, that he heard a whisper and thought it was Eli. It turned out to be God. Mark Batterson talked about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. He said, go to stand, and he saw a whirlwind come by and a fire, earthquake. God wasn't in any of that. That's another fault we have too. We want God to be in some. God, speak to me. Don't you sit there and lie now, because I know some of you have done this. When I was early in my faith, I was like, I just want God to speak to me. I said, God, let the phone ring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't it? Chris, you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Let a branch fall on you.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, there you go. You're the limb. But we don't. God will do something. And then, oh, God is not doing that. We want him to do some miraculous thing to show me it's him. That says you're breathing?
Yes, sir.
That right there shows you it's me. Because I can take the breath from here, I can give it to you. God's already speaking. He's in the room right here. He said, yeah, you're making this up. Or two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of it. Either, somebody said one time, either he's the Lord, a lunatic, or a liar. Well, he's not a liar because he says, I'm the voice of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not crazy, although his brothers thought he is. Huh. So it must be the Lord. And the Lord says, or two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst. Who are you? I'm God Almighty. I love when Joshua was getting ready to go fight the battle of Jericho. He's out there walking around chewing fingernails. I'm nervous about this cross in Jordan. I looked up and there was the angel of the Lord. I think it was Jesus reincarnate. He said, whose side you on? I can imagine God reaching down for the sword. Whose side you on? And the angel said, I'm not on anybody. He said, I'm here to take over. He got down on his knees like, let God take over today. I get to get feeling after. After feeling an earthquake, seeing a whirlwind, feeling the fire, and then you heard a whisper. I'll give you one last one. In Acts chapter 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. He's going on that road to Damascus, and all at once, out of nowhere, he hears God speak. And so he touched my heart. I'll get emotional because, Job, where was your road to Damascus? Kendall, where was your road to Damascus? Where are you? You just go up. Healing your name. What was your road in that? What did you hear God speak of? I am a sinner. He's a great savior. It's time to stop this. And you got on your knees and his life changed. So we all had a road to Damascus. And God will come up and he says, may you never get over the day you got saved. Because when you say, oh, everything just seemed right with the world, still is, you just let the world crowd that. If you can picture a throne in your heart, Jesus sits on that throne. I sometimes wonder if we don't come up and, you know, sit there beside him and give him a hoof. Like, pretty soon Jesus standing up beside you like this. It's like, I thought that was my seat. It is. We just want to scoot him over. We want to try to run things. We've made Jesus a passenger instead of the driver.
Can I speak for
Yes, sir.
You know, this morning when I woke up, I felt a little tired and overwhelmed. I worked this week. But as he said, God speaks to me during his way. God says, no, you need to get on up and go to church. And evidently, looks to hear this message.
And like you said, there's a second. When he speaks, we got to listen. But then there's one other thing. We got to obey, right? What's Revelation 3:20 say? Behold,
I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, dine with him and he with me.
If anyone hears my voice, you're hearing his voice right now. What's the next line of that verse, Joe?
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door.
I think people hear his voice all the time. They just don't open the door. They hear his voice, but they lay in the bed. They hear his voice. I'll not say it. Then don't. But I tell you what happened on, I tell you, he got me nuts. And then we start the gossip train over, and everybody jumps on board. Get on board the gossip train. And we're just riding up there in Walmart. Now, that stuff never happens in Salem. I presume you don't eat in certain places because you're going to hear people complain. Because that's just stuff. You can't hear God's voice because everybody else. God doesn't gossip. He speaks truth and straight to them. Paul heard him, Elijah heard him, Samuel heard him. After being blind by a bright light, he heard a whisper. I love it. So be still, know that I am God. I like that. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Like they got rid of church, was going back home. Oh, I hope you came here today to hear God, not me. Came here last week to hear God, not Chris. Well, God speaks to you. I hope he does. Pray that he does. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." You ever heard that? Don't tell me you haven't heard that in high school a few times. Mark, don't do that. Mark the law down the well. He did that to me in high school. The good shepherd got briar marks on him, I think, from crawling in over the bank and getting me. My sheep follow me because they what? Know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know. I just still think that's amazing. The shepherd can walk into thousands of sheep and he goes, "Whatever they are. My loved ones." All his sheep like, "Let's go." How do you do that? Because they know his voice. How do you not speak to you? Because I know his voice. That's not bragging. That's just, I hear him. How come I don't hear him? Maybe you're not one of his lambs. Or maybe you are, you go, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." So let's see. Psalms 46:10, be still. I want you to be still right quick, right now. God will speak. If we will listen. "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to man's whole body." There's a wise Chris play a song to close. I just want you to do that. I want to hear God's voice. I'm going to pray that, and then I want you to. A man named Andrew Peterson wrote this song, and I hear it, and I'll sometimes weep just listening to it, because it says, "Is the world broken? Yes, it is. Is the world in darkness? Yes, it is. But Jesus is the light of the world, so we want to hear him. Can he do things? Is he worthy of our time and our attention?" He is. And that's the name of that song. He is. And in Revelation, who's worthy to open up the scrolls? Who's worthy to even get that book and open it up? And God is. So he is worthy. And if he's worthy to listen to, and he is, he's worthy to let him take over and let him have our life, then do that. Chris, I think I'm through here. You can put that video up if you want to.
Sorry, I had the cursor on the play button.
Okay, well, you got it. That's fine. You just pray here the last few minutes. Hold on. Listen to Andrew Peterson's song. Is he worthy? And he is. Is he worthy to listen to? Does he deserve our time? Oh, man, he is. He is worthy. He is. So let this song minister to you. God will speak to you through a song. He speaks through his word. He speaks through people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through songs. So here we go.
Does the fire
Lord, are we worthy to hear your voice? Sometimes we're not, because we have sin blocking that. So I pray right now for me, for my church family before me, would you forgive us of all our sins and cleanse our heart? Every crack and crevice of our heart from our head to our toes, wash us clean, wash us whiter than snow. If someone here has never asked you to say, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior? I need you. I want to hear you. Lord, it's amazing you speak to everybody. You speak to saved as well as unsaved people. You might be speaking to someone here today that doesn't know you. You're speaking, and as Joe said in the verse, we hear your voice and open the door. So we hear you. Now help us to open the door and invite you in. Invite you into our heart to be our Savior. If someone's done that in a simple way to say, Jesus, I love you. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for being willing to come in my heart and be my Savior. In faith, I trust you. I believe in you. My life is yours. Lord, today the name gets written down in the book of life there in heaven. Jesus, perhaps there's somebody here today that would say, Lord, save me. Maybe some others have not heard your voice. It's clear, well, we're going to do something about that today. We're going to say, Jesus, you help me to be renewed, refreshed, and rededicated, revived, and say, Lord, the voices of this world can no longer steal my attention and my hearing. Instead, pull me close to where I can hear your voice. We understand today those that are closest to you hear your voice clear, so draw us close. So maybe someone here today says, I want to rededicate my life to living for Jesus. So Lord, you're speaking. I'm glad we're able to listen. I pray that you keep the loudness of the world away from us and be still quiet voices that we hear. Lord, what is that voice? I pray that it's yours. So Lord, you speak. Put all the other voices away. You speak. And you reign and you be king. Because you are with us. Lord, now we got to go back into this world. We can go with strength. We can go with forgiveness. We can go with a Savior for someone if they've asked you to be their Savior. We can go with our Lord and Savior if we've put you back on the rightful place and the throne of our heart. We can go back into this world, but we're not alone. We walk with you. Thanks for a good service. You always show up. We just don't hear you sometimes. Today, I pray that we have. That still small voice, that whisper, that's yours. That's you. That we'd be found good to be good listeners and then be obedient to what you told us in Jesus' name.